With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome along. We need another podcast. So we've got two people fit and willing to go. Yeah, that'll do. Let's get on with it. Yes, the transfer list has been written. We are getting close to January, which means that you make up stories about who's going where, or you basically just repeat the obvious and package it as if it's a real pearl of wisdom. Gareth Bale can leave Real Madrid, everybody. It's a little exclusive for you here from La Liga Weekly. Just got to be willing to pay £500,000 a week and give him medical treatments and a golf course, and then you can have him. Coutinho, of course. Yeah, all of these players, we knew that you can have them. It's just a question of paying their wages, because they never play for their clubs and they get paid a fortune. Right, so we asked for questions, and basically 99% of the questions were about Ferran Torres, and 99% of those were how come they can afford him. I thought I understood it, and now I don't understand it, because I thought they had no money, and now they've got money to buy Ferran Torres and etc. We will deal with the Ferran Torres issue. That is the big transfer story at the moment. We'll have a look at a few targets, a little bit of La Liga managerial news to be done as well. And that should probably do us. So thank you to everybody who sent us questions. Thank you to all of the Patreons. Now, the Patreons have had the Christmas treat of listening to an Andrea Orlandi interview. It was great of Andrea to come on. He's a fascinating bloke, isn't he? You know, if you don't know, if you haven't got La Liga TV, because he's a really good pundit now on La Liga TV, but he played for Barcelona when he was a youngster, came to the English League, played for Swansea, Blackburn, Blackpool, travelled around the world. Now he's involved as moving players and searching for players with an agency. So it was really good chat. And so that is there for Patreons. The rest of you don't get a Christmas present, I'm afraid, other than this. Right, Terry. So Merry Christmas, Terry. iPad,
new
iNote, and you got it working? Yeah, well done.
just for this, just for the podcast. So hopefully people can view me better, hear me better. I'm joking, of course. The last thing they want is see me better. No, been a stressful Christmas in terms of COVID, like everybody else. What can we do? What can't we do? Been restricted in terms of I go away to Barcelona tomorrow morning to work over the New Year's fixtures. So keeping away from anybody that might have been near people and stuff like that. And then to top it all off, I've gone retro and got an old-fashioned English cold. So testing every couple of days because I'm convinced I've got COVID, as everybody does. I've got the sniffles, got sore throat, and it's not. It's just an old-fashioned cold. So the weather hasn't helped. It's games being called off left, right and centre. So it's been Christmas has just flown by again, once again.
I think Ferran Torres is turning green, Terry. I think he urgently needs to leave Manchester. I think that's what's behind all of this. Living in his cave, as Nolito would put it. Well, it'd be interesting to see how the Omicron wave affects Spain, because we've had all these cancellations in England. I mustn't moan about me having games called off. It's not about me. However, it'd be interesting to see how it goes now, won't it? Whether we start getting games called off in La Liga, or whether they do what the Premier League clubs and the Championship clubs seem very unwilling to do, and actually put some kids in the team if you need to. It seems that they just refuse to do that, the Premier League clubs and the Championship clubs.
Which is absolutely ridiculous, because I've been watching a lot of the under-23 Premier League games this season. There are lots of, you know, teams. I can watch one team and it's a different team to the same team next week is completely different. So they have an abundance of players that are available to play in the under-23 league. I question the merits of that league for a number of different reasons. I do feel when I'm watching players that I'm surprised that they're playing that level, at that level of club in their early 20s or, you know, late teens, when I don't, in my opinion, they don't particularly look like they're going to be good enough to play for whatever club you want to tag along with that. And I do wonder how they're still at clubs at 19, 20, not playing senior football. Because they, you know, they haven't found their levels. And it does look like now that when the Premier League clubs are having to dip into the Premier League to under 23 teams, they're not willing to do so because they probably believe themselves that, hang on, these are not good enough. You know, so it's that's wrong. That needs to be resolved in the fact that if you're playing for the under 23s of any of the clubs in the Premier League, any of them, then you should be at some stage good enough to play, if needed, for the first team. The fact that they're not willing, the Premier League clubs, to, I mean, we're seeing some games where they're not even naming the full amount of subs. That's just been absolutely, you imagine being a 17, 18, 19, 20 year old at one of these clubs and they're only naming three or four subs because they can't, they don't think you're good enough to play. What chance have you got? Those young boys should be playing at the right level. That might be a division lower and might be playing for first team in Division One or first team in Division Two. But to build a career and playing on the back of, you know, one of the big clubs in the Premier League, in the under 23 league, but no hope of playing. And it's clear now. I mean, you may think you have hope, but when it comes down to it, these youngsters, this is the opportunity to play them. And the clubs are doing everything they can to call games off, which is an absolute joke. I would imagine there'd be 40 to 50 players at each of these clubs that could play first team football, you know, except from the age of 17 upwards. As we've seen, they're not all as good as Gavi and Pedri and players like that, and, you know, Vinicius Junior at young ages. But there's players there that, given an opportunity at 17, 18, if they're playing regular reserve team football, the under 23 league, then they should be included in that 40, 50 man squad that, you know, the likes of Man United, Chelsea, Liverpool, the top teams, particularly the top teams. I mean, they carry a lot of players. And for them to start messing around with trying to call games off, Newcastle was the latest the other night. They got a couple of players injured. They've now thrown in some COVID cases and got a game called off. It's an absolute joke. And the next problem then is Newcastle might have six new players for this rearrange game.
Yeah.
If they go out and spend a couple of $100 million in the transfer market in January. So they're perhaps then, you know, if you're looking at running the league properly, perhaps any players that sign in January shouldn't be allowed to play in the games that were called off prior to the transfer window being open. That's an obvious solution to that. Otherwise, you're going to get clubs like Newcastle calling games off because Callum Wilson and Maximan gets injured. They've got to throw in another few more COVID players. And then in January transfer window, signed about six players, and play this game rearranged in February or January or March when these new players can play. It's wrong. We are getting the cases in Spain, a lot of cases. I do fear it's going to get worse. I'm going to be interested to see how they handle it because in Spain, the clubs have B teams. The reason I'm more worried about the La Liga cases is we're seeing significant numbers at some of the clubs. I think 12 at Elche, 17 at Rayo. They've had a midwinter break. Now, it was 10 days, I think, maybe not 2 week break. And I've seen pictures of various players in New York and Miami. They've really...
Yes.
So, you know, for them to be heading back to play again in La Liga from, you know, going on little vacations around the world, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. It's going to be interesting to see the numbers and interesting to see how La Liga deal with calling games off. I think Rayo are the worst case scenario, aren't they? With 17, I think it is.
Yeah.
And they have asked for the game to be called off against Atletico Madrid. So it'd be interesting to see how the La Liga play it, whether they do their utmost, almost force teams to play. We saw recently with Crystal Palace, didn't they? Tried to get the game called off against Spurs and it was...
None of the team that plays. It's their normal team. Yeah.
Yeah, and on the day of the game, it was still in doubt. So
yeah.
People were, you know, oh, are we going to the game? Are we not going to the game? People were fortunate it was a London derby. And then the game was given the go-ahead. And when you saw Crystal Palace's team, you thought, well, it's Patrick Vieira's missing. It's the only one.
Yeah, it was a good player.
It's a strong 20 team. Years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they played Norwich. We'll get back to La Liga, everyone. They played Norwich. Conor Gallagher has got COVID. Conor Gallagher, I think, has been their best player so far this season. Yep. So he wasn't available because it was Norwich. Suddenly, it's like no mention of calling that game off. It's like, we'll play them. It's like, okay, yeah. So you play them, will you? No.
Yeah, yes. No, the Premier League have got... of course, if someone does get a massive outbreak, yes, but the clubs are finding it too easy. I think everyone agrees on that, to cancel games. So it's going to be interesting to see how now La Liga is resuming, how they see it, how they handle it. My guess is they'll make teams play.
Yeah, I think we need to know. I think it's the transparency, I think, isn't it? I think we don't need to... I think it's the bit of the... Is it on or off for logistical reasons? Are you going to travel? Are you going to make, well, plans to do whatever you can do? TV companies, people moan about the TV companies, but they are paying a lot of money. They do pay to fund the whole thing. So it's quite legitimate that they would say, right, how many games are you calling off and for exactly what reason? And how many players? How many, as you say, how many of these are injuries and how many of these are COVID? Because teams can have injuries, obviously, certainly this time of year. In England, we do play a lot of games at this time of year. So there are always injured players and tired players. So I think a bit more transparency would be my view. And play more games, put more kids in. It just seems, you know, I agree with you. What's the point of these elaborate structures? All this millions spent on running academies, if the players in it aren't good enough for when you have an injury crisis or an illness.
Exactly. And the managers have to stop bleating as well about the fixture congestion.
It's not life ideal, in general. Yeah.
But it's Premier League football.
Yeah.
You know, it's been like that since I was playing in the old First Division. We played back-to-back days back then. I saw someone show a piece on Twitter about Spurs playing back-to-back in the mid-late 90s, 26th and 27th of December. And, you know, I'm not suggesting we should go back to that, but hearing managers saying, oh, we've played twice in 51 hours. Seriously, you know, it's not that, it isn't the end of the world. You've got big squads, you've got far bigger squads than teams used to have, and just get on with it. So managers, you know, Rennick coming in and saying, right, get rid of the Carabao Cup. It's been here 5 minutes, please. You know, stop moaning. Job of a lifetime for someone that, with all due respect, hasn't won an awful lot of trophies, has this unbelievable reputation, and then steps into the Premier League and wants to immediately start rearranging the schedule of the Premier League.
And,
and Klopp does it every year. Jurgen Klopp, massive respect. You know, I think he's been, no doubt, a great addition to the Premier League. Fantastic manager. But every year we get this from him. Mm-hmm. It just get on with it. You know, everybody's played really well.
I agree with you about Rangnick. He literally like got off the plane immediately. Right, cancelled the Carabao Cup. You just arrived, mate. You haven't played in it yet.
We want five substitutions should be allowed. Now that's a different debate.
Yeah.
But no, in the Premier League, it is what it is. In English football, not just the Premier League, in English football, it's an onslaught around Christmas. It is. Now, whether that should be changed or not, it's a different debate. The fact it hasn't, just get on with it.
Yeah,
so hopefully we'll see what happens now in La Liga.
There are 38 games in La Liga. There are 38 games in Serie A. There are 38 games in the Premier League. They play more midweeks in Spain and Italy, basically, because they don't go crazy at Christmas. Still got to play the games. You know, there's no magical more time appears in it, you know. Right. So we get on to the promise. We are here to talk about transfers, everyone. But yes. There we are. I'm glad we've sorted that. Right. So thank you to everybody who sent in the questions. As I say, the overwhelming ones are about the Ferran Torres issue. So I'll read out a couple. Kelvin is one of our Patreons, so you get to go first. I hope you both well. What are your thoughts on Barcelona saying Ferran Torres? Where in the front three do you think is his best position? Also, out of the other Barcelona forwards, who do you think the best to play with him when everybody is available? Omar says, is the 55 million plus add-ons for Torres a good deal, considering Barca's finances and their recent transfer market blunders? More importantly, is he the player to solve their lack of width and pace issues? Neymar aside, who do you think would have been the ideal player for this role? The rest are all slightly different. So, yeah, we'll do. So, basically, they're the basic Ferran Torres questions. I was surprised when I first heard it. I was thinking, what happened? I thought they were signing free transfers and out of contracts and loans and everything else. And suddenly, hang on, Ferran Torres, 55 million. Where's how?
There's two sides to this as well. I'm surprised City are willing to let him go. And we've heard Pep say if a player doesn't want to stay, they can leave, which is quite an obvious thing to say when you've got as many good players as Manchester City have. It's not as obvious to say if a, I don't know, West Ham player or, you know, someone, Aston Villa, wants to leave, they can't just let him go because they want to keep him and there's that issue. But with Manchester City, with an abundance of players similar to Ferran Torres, if Ferran Torres states that he wants to leave, and that's clearly been the case because I don't think City would have been looking to move him on. But I think Ferran Torres must have said that he wanted to leave, go back to Spanish football. He obviously knew about the interest from Barcelona. So I understand that part of it, why Man City are willing to let him leave. I think he's slightly undervalued, if I'm being honest. He's still a young player that's shown good promise at Valencia and then showed his true potential at City, true potential with the national team as well, where he's really thrived, where he probably had that first opportunity of playing in a slightly different position. Because at Valencia, we only saw him play wide. I thought that was going to be his only position. I didn't see him as a central striker. He isn't in a traditional state, if you want to say an attacker playing with his back to goal. But we've seen his ability to roam around the top end of the pitch. He's one of those players. He's not an out-and-out number nine. He's not the focal point of the attack. But he has a good, really good goal-scoring instinct. He's comfortable playing wide, comfortable dropping deep, comfortable running in behind, comfortable at times playing with his back to goal because his movement is one where he's always looking to run in behind and play on the shoulder of the defenders as opposed to holding the ball up, getting the ball into feet, allowing players to join up with the play. So I think it's a really good signing for Barcelona. I really do. And they're going with this young, new baby Barcelona, they're calling them, which is quite apt, to be honest, when you look at the better players this season and signing another really talented young player. So I think it's a good signing. How they've done it, I'm coming to slowly but surely understand that Barcelona can find money. That's not the issue. It's just what they're allowed to spend. And that's a whole different topic. You know, we're seeing the financial fair play regulations in La Liga are different to everybody else. And it hampers the bigger clubs. It's admirable to make sure that players do get paid and clubs do get their transfer fees that they were due. But at the same time, you've got to get the balance right where you're not making Barcelona a laughingstock, for instance. They're having to ditch every good player that they've got, rely on chucking in these young players. Thankfully for Barcelona, for them and their supporters, the young players are superb. But could you imagine if they hadn't been? And we were seeing different young players having to play every week that weren't up to the Barcelona standard. So I think there's got to be a balance between La Liga hampering their best clubs, the biggest clubs, because they want them to thrive in European football. And we've seen the result this season with Barcelona failing to qualify for the next stage of the Champions League, scoring very few goals and looking really poor to the extent they're dropping into the Europa League and playing Napoli. And probably I think that Napoli will probably beat them. So they won't even get into the Europa League, into the knockout stages. So I think that La Liga needs to get the balance right between managing to make sure that clubs manage their debts, because there's a lot of clubs around the world, similar positions to Barcelona, that have big debt, but they can finance the debt. They all suffered, a lot of clubs suffered because of the lack of supporters in a stadium, such as Barcelona, where they would normally get 60, 70, 80,000 for some games. That didn't exist for a year. So that hampered their financial regulations. And it led to them being, I think, Valencia bottom and Barcelona second bottom, I think, in the salary budget caps in terms of reductions and issues like that. So La Liga should need to try and get the balance right between, you know, not stopping Valencia and Barcelona from progressing and managing their debts. There haven't been too many cases of Barcelona not being able to pay their players and not being able to pay transfer fees. I know they do sometimes mess about, but they would call that business. But I can remember, you know, back in 10, 15 years ago, 180 players one season were owed money. Clubs were owed money and transfer fees. That had to stop. They've resolved that, but now probably gone a little bit too far. And with Ferran Torres, the first thing I noticed was the payment structure is over 5 years. That's how transfer fees are paid now. So 10 million a year for Ferran Torres for the next 5 years. They've put £1 billion or €1 billion buyout clause on him. So they've learned a lesson from, you know, past mistakes. Tithing down to a long contract, it has to be good business. I mean, it's half the price of a Dembele, Coutinho, Griezmann. So they're not in that bracket again where you're paying over 100 for three players each. Then they really do have to come up with the goods. Ferran Torres is young. Xavi looks to be the type of manager he will thrive under. He will get better. So I think in all, it's a surprising move, but I think a wise one from Barcelona.
Martin asked a question. I think you've covered it. Does anyone understand the salary cap and what it's directly linked to? Turnover, net profit, short-term debt, short-term, long-term debt seems very confusing to the layman. Seems confusing to us as well. We are laymen in terms of financial restructure, financial structuring, and all of that. I share your reservation. My major problem with it is it didn't stop Bartomeu getting Barcelona into this, or didn't stop him digging the hole. It seems that it does stop them climbing out of it potentially, which therefore it doesn't work. I think there are lots of things about that in Spanish football where they identify the problem quite well, and then they say, "So we're doing this," and I don't see the connection between the two things. I'm not sure. Yes, I agree. The problem was there. Not quite sure how the financial restrictions, as you are framing them, are helping. Because look where we are. Anyway,
is it Barcelona turned their short term into long term debt as well? Which is part of what you were saying there as well. Which means, you know, there are other clubs around the world that have a massive long term debt but can easily pay it. For instance, and I'm sure that would be the case with Barcelona, particularly now. Yeah. You know, supporters we hope are still in the stadium and staying in the stadium. Then that income comes back into the club, and then they can change things around again. Then.
It's tricky though, isn't it? Because you do have to. Yeah. We saw sort of Barcelona's attendances were terrible when they were allowed to have full stadiums and they didn't. Because you've got to keep the fans on side, haven't you? We've got this. You know, everyone listening.
Lack of hope.
Yeah, but there are people. You know, probably half the people watching us, listening to us, are Barcelona fans from different parts of the world. Probably that's a guess, but it's a reasonable one. Without those people aren't sticking around to watch rubbish football. I'm sure our people will. I'm sure our dedicated Barca fans from around the world, but not everyone will. You won't have hundreds of millions of Barcelona fans if they're finishing mid-table in the Liga season after season. So you do have to maintain a playing level, don't you, if you want to maintain this worldwide fan base. I mean, literally, even attracting local fans into the stadium is dependent on performances. So they need,
and that's in La Liga's interest, isn't it? To do that. Mm. They need a successful Barcelona, Real Madrid. Yeah. We've got Atletico Madrid now, Sevilla, the big clubs. They need them to be successful to attract the interest into La Liga with the quality. Quality, it's all about quality, and you need money to get the quality. And you know, we expect those clubs I just talked about and one or two others to be able to have the money to bring in the quality that's needed for La Liga to be watched and enjoyed around the world.
Question about Ousmane Dembele from Luca Toni. That's good to hear from Luca Toni. How has Ousmane Dembele remained a highly regarded footballer? Injuries for what seems his entire Barca contract, it always linked with an extension or a big move. I need his agent for negotiating with my wife for a guy's day out. He also wanted to ask about Ferran Torres. Just go for it, Luca. Just have your day out, mate. Go on.
Great question, though. I think that the fact that Barcelona regard him so highly is because they're trying to protect an investment, big investment that could result in ending up worth nothing.
Because we've had this debate before. Let me just quickly make it's the sunken cost fallacy now for Barcelona to give him a big contract. They gave him they paid an absolute fortune for a guy turned out to be injured all the time. And they gave him a huge transfer fee and a short contract. It was terrible business at the time, but that is done. And so all they've got left of Ousmane Dembele is 6 months of his contract. They've got these, 25 games left. That's all they've got of him. Anything else is a new negotiation. So paying him hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds, euros a week, giving him a huge contract extension to try and protect the 100-odd million that Bartomeu blew, that's gone. You've spent that money. That 100-odd million got you his registration for this period of time, and that's done. And you can't protect that investment anymore. You could have a couple of years ago if he'd been fit and you'd sold him a couple of years ago, but you can't now. You can't sell him for a fee now. So the only way they can do him is to pay a fortune, and it's a new negotiation. So they'll offer him a fortune. If anyone else wants him, if Bayern Munich want him, they'll come and offer the same or more money, but they don't. So don't throw your good money after the previous bad money. If he's decide whether you want him, if he's good enough for your squad, is he so much better than the rest of the players who are being paid so much less, as Messi was, then pay it. But if he's not that good, I don't think he is, then you don't pay it. I think it's that simple.
I agree with you totally. It would be interesting. I think there will be clubs around that will take a gamble on him because he might be he might be a free transfer. But I'm not so sure any of them will pay the hundreds and hundreds of thousands that he will be hoping for. I think Barcelona and Xavi in particular have gone on a charm offensive to him in terms of trying to, you know, persuade him that he's valued to the club in terms of playing time. You know, they want to build a team around young players. They see him fitting in it. They must be doing it slightly thinking, Xavi even must be thinking, I do like him as a player, but he just doesn't half miss a lot of football. You know, and every game he plays, you're on tenterhooks wondering, is he going to pull up with a hamstring or a thigh strain or a calf strain? Or that's the issue. So I think they're going on a charm offensive to try and persuade him for football reasons to stay at Barcelona. Listen, it's a great football club. It's a great city to live in. And if a manager like Xavi believes in you, they're pretty good conditions to continue working at that club. Or does he, and more importantly, probably his agent, believe that he might be better off going to another big club that might take a chance on him? And there will be clubs that will be willing to do that as long as his salary is reasonable. Now, that's going to have to be reasonable at Barcelona. It's going to have to be reasonable. This isn't a classic, a player that plays 40, 50 games a year. He's absolutely superb in 90% of those games, coming to the end of his contract, and everyone in all the big clubs in Europe looking for him. The big clubs in Europe will have him in the back of their mind. They'll be looking at the situation. But this isn't like Mbappe or Haaland, where they're proven and they play every week, they score every game, and they score 20, 30 goals a season and genuinely doing it week in, week out. He's a similar age, but unfortunately for Mbappe, for Dembele and Barcelona, that hasn't been reproduced on a regular basis. So it's going to be interesting. I think your wisdom there regarding how Barcelona should play it is 100% correct. I think they will. They'll be hoping somehow they've managed to get players to drop salaries, which has been astonishing. So I think that shows the pull of the club. And, you know, it's be interesting to see how Dembele, probably more importantly, how his agent plays it. But they've got to be careful, I think.
Yeah.
I think they've got to be careful. They need a club to come along that are desperate for him, that will pay the massive amounts, and, you know, because they're thinking they're getting a £100 million player for nothing and then paying him, you know, 5, 10, 15 million a year. They might see it as good business. That might happen.
Yeah. Or he might get another hamstring injury in April, May, and have no club and be sitting in a rehab centre somewhere with Gareth Bale.
It'd be an expensive one though, John. Yes. He'll have all the trimmings.
Black is Power wants to know about Serginho Dest being transfer list. Now, I've seen him linked with everyone, Serginho Dest, from Bayern Munich downwards. So what are you doing with Dest, Terry, if you're Barca?
Is there a transfer list nowadays?
I remember surely asking there is not a list to go. Of players.
Yeah. When I played, I remember there being a list and you had to ask to go on the list. I hadn't thought about it much earlier, but I remember going in to see a manager and saying, managers and saying, I'd like to go on the transfer list. And then, okay, we'll put you on the transfer list as if there was this transfer list. I don't know if it ever existed or whether it was just it was always take out the top drawer from the manager and write something on a piece of paper and put it in that top drawer. I don't know if the list ever actually existed. I'm sure it doesn't now. I'm sure there's an unofficial list that everybody knows about. You know,
everybody knows.
If you're a good player at a club that's not wealthy and not traditionally massively big, that player they've got a player that's particularly good. He's on the list. He's not, you know, everybody knows that. Oh, he's Arbel, for instance. Knows he's on the list. Everyone knows the price. Everyone knows that, you know, he's a fantastic footballer and probably could be got from Real Sociedad when it's the time right. When does it suit the player? When does it suit the buying club, the selling club? And everybody knows that Barcelona are looking to move players. There's probably, I saw Real Madrid had a transfer list the other day, and Gareth Bale was on it. Hazard was on it. I wouldn't imagine Hazard would be on a transfer list, because I think the minute is that this unofficial transfer list goes on, if Real Madrid fish put out a memo saying, oh, available to every club in Europe, Aiden Hazard, that pushes negotiation straight down, you know, in terms of negotiating the deal. They will be hoping agents come in or managers, clubs come in and inquire about a player. And then they can negotiate the deal. So the transfer list, but it does appear clear, going back to the question before we waffle on too much, that Dest isn't particularly rated by Xavi. Other players have been playing at right back. I think it's a slight surprise, if I'm being honest. Again, I think he's a good young player under the right management. Could, and playing in the right team as well. It's been a difficult period since he's been at Barcelona for him and for the club. So I think that I'm slightly surprised that they're, but they do have to sell players. So he's one of those that comes into the category of we can still get decent money for him. They didn't pay over the top for him. Other clubs were interested in him at the time. He hasn't been a disaster, far from it. So that might be the case of, you know, why they're looking to sell him, because they see him as an asset that finances a Ferran Torres or anybody else that comes in. So I think he's a decent player. A lot of progression needs to be made. Lots of improvement needs to be made. But I think the raw materials are there for a good attacking right back, loads of pace, decent on the ball, to be a good signing for another club. But I think that's probably the reason. I wouldn't imagine Xavi looked at him and thinks, I want him out, he's useless. I think it's a case of he's worth money. Can we make do without a right back? We've got Dani Alves, who's tested positive for COVID. So that's a shame for Barcelona immediately. But they've got Sergi Roberto. They've got Mingueza, who can play right back. There probably are one or two others. Araujo has played right back recently. So probably they feel it's someone they could do without and raise some money at the same time. So I guess that's the reason why.
How much are you selling Sergiño Dest for? They paid 21 plus some add-ons, but they won't play the line add-ons, will they? Because he hasn't played a vast amount of games, he hasn't won a lot. What are you looking
at? That's Euros as well.
Yeah.
So I would imagine £30 million.
Right, yeah.
Maybe slightly more if you're fortunate. If the structure of the transfer fee is paid over a period of time, you maybe could ask for another 10 and then, you know, that could be added on as like a form of, so maybe 30, 40 million, I think clubs probably, possibly will pay that over a 4 or 5 year period.
One last Barcelona question. I know, sorry, everybody else, but all the questions are about Barcelona. So last one, I think we can do this one quickly. He says, if Barca send Demir back to his club and buy him in the summer, could they register for the B team next season? Or once a player is registered in the first team, is that it? I think you can re-register, can't you? In a different...
I think you can play for both as well at the same time. I've seen it in the past. A while ago, I remember Roberto Soldado seeing him play for Real Madrid B against Malaga, at Malaga. I was at the game. Scored a fantastic goal. Real Madrid B, Castilla were excellent. On a Saturday evening, on the Sunday evening, come off the bench and scored for the first team. So I think that is still the case. He was a young player then. But I think it is still the case. It's unfortunate he can't play, can he? Because they have to pay a fee if he plays some, you know, a certain amount of playing time. So it's difficult for him. I wouldn't imagine that's Barcelona's biggest problem at the moment, though. You know, Ilias is another player that can play there. We've seen Abde playing in recent weeks as well. Jukla has come into the team. So I think they've got to be careful, you know, how much money they spend on any more young players.
Yeah, yeah. Sevilla. That's it. Well, moving on eventually. Stu, one of our Patreons, says, what do you think of Martial to Sevilla? Is that what they need to sustain a title push?
Depends on what they see him playing. I mean, I see a lot of players, and Manchester United, funny enough, I've got a few more than their fair share of players that play up front, but I don't know whether they play right, left, or down the middle. Martial is one of those. I think if you're looking at Sevilla, where possibly they possibly could improve, I don't think they need any more bodies in terms of wide players. They've got more than enough of those. Lamela, Ocampos, Papu Gomez, Munir. I'm probably missing one or two out as well. So they've got enough of those. It's En-Nesyri and Rafamir up front? Would Martial complement them? Would he play instead of either of those two? Lopetegui is pretty much married to the 4-3-3, so we're not going to see Martial playing alongside Rafamir or En-Nesyri. I think he's a really good player. I think it's an ambitious project from Sevilla to try and get him. Allegedly, I've read reports he wants to go. I think it would be a good fit. The problem is Sevilla have offered a very, very low amount, and there will be other clubs that will pay more than Sevilla. Whether that's a starting point for negotiation, I presume so. But Manchester United will want more than what Sevilla are at the moment currently prepared to offer. When I saw the offer, I thought, oh, we're not going to get him for that. No chance. Yeah.
Is he a couple of years ago in the Premier League, he scored, hang on, I'll look this up, he scored 17 Premier League goals in 32 games in the 1920 season. It was easily his best goal-scoring season. Do you think he is that player? Because obviously they lose En-Nesyri to the Africa Cup of Nations for a few weeks. How much are they gambling on winning the league? Or given Real Madrid's advantage now, is it too late for Sevilla to take a big gamble and like whack a big loan fee and see us right? So you go for it.
Yeah, I think the 8-point gap is deceiving them. Right? They've got a game in hand, which could narrow it down to 5, and they've still got to play Real Madrid again at home.
Yeah.
So I think they, you know, and things have gone perfectly for Real Madrid. And we, in this current season, who knows what's going to happen? You know, Real Madrid have had a little wobble in terms of COVID, and they've made do with it. They've had the wobble in terms of their really, really tough games in succession, and they were superb. So, you know, at the moment, Real Madrid are favourites. It's a healthy advantage to have. But in this current season that we're seeing with, you know, African Cup of Nations, and we're a long way away from yet deciding who wins the title. So Sevilla in the best shape from the other teams to make a challenge. And I promise you, as fantastic as Real Madrid have been playing, they will have difficult moments this season for one reason or another. And Sevilla have got to do their best to hang on in there. So I certainly don't think it's worth, you know, you shouldn't be throwing the towel in if you're Sevilla. Yeah. Maybe Atletico and Barcelona are only a point behind Atletico now. But I think those two, you know, a million miles away from challenging so far this season. And that would need a huge turnaround, both in fortune for Atletico and Barca, and for Real Madrid. They'd need to drastically drop the levels, which I don't anticipate happening. But I think it's too early for Sevilla. So if they're ambitious, we'll see how ambitious they are, because will clubs come in for any of their current players? Mm. Will someone come in for Koundé, Carlos, Ocampos? And will they resist it again, like they did with Koundé and Chelsea, I believe, in the summer? So I think Sevilla is worth persevering with this season. And if they see Martial as being the player that makes a difference, I can see it. And I'd like to see him play more in a central position. But United in recent seasons, Greenwood, Rashford, Martial, they've all ended up sort of switching from when they first started as a striker to a wide player, or wider player in the front three and stuff like that. So it'd be interesting to see if Martial goes to Sevilla, whether they play him as a striker, and then judge him to see how good he is. I think he's pretty good, to be honest.
If I was making up transfer speculation, Terry, I'd wonder about Aubameyang, because why isn't he? I don't see him linked anywhere, and yet Arteta doesn't want him. We would rather have him out of the club. He's obviously paid a fortune, so he's hard to sell.
The problem.
There's a danger that he ends up in the Bale Coutinho bracket of unsellable players. But you can get him out on loan quickly now without it, you know, and take a massive hit on his wages, obviously, because that's what it would take. But, you know, if you're looking at Sevilla looking to get a guy who's going to score, because I think Aubameyang would score you. I think he's the nearest thing to guaranteed goals that is, John, is the problem, kicking around.
The problem is, even Sevilla couldn't even pay half his wages.
Mm, yeah.
That's the problem. I've read £300,000-£350,000 a week at Arsenal. Yeah. Sevilla wouldn't even be able to pay half that.
But no one is. And no one's going
to accept that.
Yeah, no one's going to take him, are they? Yeah, so, but either that, or you end up with a Bale Coutinho. So, but right now, they could get him out. He could go and play however many games Sevilla have got left, 17, 18 games, maybe this season. I think he'd be good for 10 goals.
Definitely.
You know, still top bracket striker. Get him out, get him scoring goals, and then you've got a chance of selling him.
I can't imagine a player at Sevilla is earning 100,000 a week.
Yeah, So you're paying that?
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. But they can't pay him that.
But Arsenal paying the rest.
So that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way. That's why Barca have never sold Coutinho and Real Madrid have never sold Bale, because everyone looks at the wages and thinks, well, I know he was good in the past, but we're not paying that. Because we're not, it's just impossible for us to pay that. So either you pay this guy to play golf or sulk in Aubameyang's case, or you subsidize him to leave. It's the only option.
And maybe on a short-term one as well.
Yeah, to a high-profile club where he'll play, where he'll bang a few goals in, and then you've got a better chance of selling him as opposed to a guy who hasn't kicked a football for 6-7 months.
And also you've got the will of the player as well.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Aubameyang in particular, but there are players around that probably feel, why would I go there? You know,
yeah.
I'm earning this here, living in London. It's up to the manager. There'll be an element of how long will the manager last? Will I outsee him? It does happen, and it does. Mm. There are players that it works in their favour in the end. The manager does go, and the manager comes in, and life's hunky dory, tickety boo again. So it's. Yeah. I don't see Arteta leaving in the near future, but Aubameyang is his motivation there to go and play and graft away and get his reputation back. Or are players happy to sit on the large sum of money? And just wait and see what happens.
If I was gambling on it, I'd say he'll end up sitting there on a fortune and not playing.
Yeah. And I think Gareth Bale last year when he went to Spurs, they were playing a fraction of his wages.
Yeah, yeah, precisely.
From Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But it did turn out a good move. He didn't get the playing time he would like. He's got loads of goals.
Yeah, yeah. I hope this would do. It didn't work in that respect, in that someone then bought him in the summer, because obviously in the long run, no one was willing to go near the wages for Gareth Bale, I guess. And because you don't know how many games you're going to get out of Bale, do you? That's the problem. It's a Dembele situation. Got one more question, Terry, from Lex Luthor, who is one of our Patreons. Thank you to all the Patreons. Patreon.com/LTEL. He says, Juanmi, Emerson Royale, Saul, Brian Hill are all examples of players who made the shift to the Premier League. It really annoys me how the media rush to label these players flops when they barely get any game time to impress or are used in the wrong position. Financial incentives aside, who would you, Terry, he says, advise young players in La Liga? So would you advise young players in La Liga to move to England?
Well, the attraction is there because you see it on television. Every game is full up. Fantastic stadiums. And the money is significantly more than they earn in their respective leagues. And would I advise a player? Probably to the right club, to the right manager. Depends on how much they're wanted. Depends on the circumstances. Does the manager really want you? That's the most important thing. Or are you just being signed by a director of football because you're a promising young player from Spain, from La Liga, that they can get for a good price compared to paying the same, the amount of money you would pay for a player that's currently playing in the Premier League, because there's still an advantage of buying from other leagues in Europe. The players are slightly cheaper. They don't earn as much money. So therefore, you've got to go to a club like Brian Hill. Let's take Brian Hill, for example. He's getting more playing time now under Conte. He has been injured. I was worried he was just going to disappear. I think he's a terrific player. I'm really pleased he signed for the club I support, Spurs. But there is that he was signed by a director of football whose knowledge of the game is good, obviously, because he recognised that Brian Hill was a player worth getting in the deal with Eric Lamela going to Sevilla. And then Nuno Espirito wasn't playing him an awful lot. I know Spurs supporters who see him as this young player that's good in the Europa League or Conference League, whatever Spurs are in, but not in anything now. The League Cup matches and stuff like that. Whereas I saw him more as a player that was going to be pushing for the first team immediately and should be in the squad, at the very least coming off the bench. So he's gone from playing on the fringes of Sevilla to being really good at Eibar, to being bought, going back to Sevilla and then selling to Spurs. There is an element of, I think they underestimate the players, not all those ones we're talking about. Emerson's playing regular for Spurs. Saul has been, tough for him. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. It's going to be interesting for us on the podcast when he does end up back at Atletico. After his experience, when that is, I don't know. It's just a question of when, isn't it? Not if. Wanmi never played for Southampton. And now we see Wanmi, although in fairness, it's taken Wanmi quite a while to get to this level. But he didn't get the opportunity at the Southampton. I mean, then you could argue, you know, Jovic has gone to Real Madrid and doesn't get any playing time. Mariano Diaz doesn't get any playing time. So I think the important thing for any young player going from any club to club, particularly when you go to a different league, is that manager has to know you and has to want you. If you're signing for a director of football, then the manager doesn't particularly know you. I'm not sure how much Nuno knew about Brian Hill. His hands were full doing other things. He was probably told, we've got this really good player, introduce him into the squad and blah. But I saw Brian Hill immediately as a first-team player. But people don't recognise him as that. They think he's this young player from Spain that might be good in the future. And he's a significant transfer, in my opinion, for Spurs. And Saul is you know, a good example, isn't it, of the difference. It does take time for any player to move from club to club in the same league, sometimes to acclimatise and get used to the different style of play and the different management, different methods. But in order to succeed, you need to be playing on a regular basis, and Saul just hasn't been able to do that at the moment.
A couple of January predictions, Terry. Trippier, will he still be at Atletico come February?
For Atletico's sake, I hope so, because I think they lack qualities defenders. And I think he's one of the four that I would play if I was playing the back four at Atletico. If I was Simeone, I would do my utmost to keep him. But the link has always been, I think the strongest link now is from Newcastle. And I think it's probably, I've read about 30 million, which I think would be too much for Atletico to turn down, to be honest. I paid less than that for him. I've had some good years out of him. If someone wants to come along and give you a profit, and someone who's in their 30s, I think I can see Atletico taking that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him move on.
Yeah. Do you foresee a busy January? A lot of players out of contract in the summer. I don't know how that plays with it.
No, I don't expect a busy January. And I was looking at the Spanish teams, the predictions for transfers in and out. No one's particularly looking to move people on apart from the obvious ones. And there isn't too much movement in terms of clubs desperate, big clubs in particular, you know, looking for him. Like Celta Vigo might need another striker because they've only got Aspas and Santimina. They're not happy with the backup for those two, those little things. So loans, players we don't know too much about that we might have a pleasant surprise with that, you know, come into the league from somewhere else. I don't think Real Madrid are too desperate to do much in the transfer market. They shouldn't. I don't see any reason why they would. We know they're long-term targets, and therefore I don't see a particularly busy January transfer window. Alaves, Mendilibar might have a few ideas, having taken over from Javier Kiyaka this week in terms of what he might look to try and bring in, but they're not going to spend significant amounts of money. It's hard to see where the money is going to come from in La Liga. Around Europe, apart from the Premier League, who seem to find the money to make a big splash in the January transfer window.
Yes, so Alaves against Real Sociedad in Mendilibar's first game in charge. He is back. We'll have a look
Rafinha.
At that, of course. Sorry, say again?
Rafinha has gone on loan to Real Sociedad, the former Barcelona player, gone on loan from PSG. That's one of the... And do you know what? I really get impressed when any club signs a player as soon as the window opens.
Yeah.
Because you get them for the whole of January. But what we're going to see, John, is a busy last few days of the January transfer window. Loads of loans probably going here, there and everywhere. And those players have missed a month of football that they could have been playing for their new club. So fair play to Barcelona for Ferran Torres. Fair play to Real Sociedad for getting in Rafinha on the as soon as you possibly can. And you get the whole of January, February, March, April, May, maybe June this year again. Out of a player that you're getting, you know, signing in January. So that's a good sign. I think it's a really good signing for Real Sociedad, actually. Rafinha coming in. Be interesting.
Yes. And we will monitor Gareth Bale's impending transfer. He's on the list, you see. Right. We will be back. So Terry is off to, fingers crossed and all of that, with the tests and all of that. Terry's off to Spain for this first round of games. We hope that they all go ahead, but we'll find out. And we will bring you them all. So they go on. So it starts New Year's Eve. The Friday.
I never know
what day anything is, Terry. So Valencia, Espanyol, Friday. Nothing on New Year's Day, the Saturday. And then there are six games on Sunday, three more games on the Monday night, and then we'll be back talking about La Liga matches for next season. Thank you for your support, everybody, and thank you particularly to the Patreons, patreon.com/LTEL, and we'll see you for that one. Thanks very much. Happy New Year, everybody.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.